Yesterday we began a new perek, the perek called Dam Chatas, which deals with some of the special laws of the Chatas. One of the special laws of the Chatas is that if the blood of the Chatas splatters on the garments of the Kohen in the Azara, there's a mitzvah to take off the garment and launder it, wash it in the Azara, to wash out the blood. It doesn't apply to any other blood. So blood of an asham that goes onto a garment, we just put away the garment, we tear it up into pieces to make wicks out of it. We don't have a mitzvah to launder it out, to wash the blood out. But only the blood of a chatas on a holy garment, there's a mitzvah to wash out the blood of the garment. And the Gemara said that that's true about an inner chatas, it's true about an outer chatas, it's true, in other words, about parelam davar shel tzibur, a chatas that none of it is eaten, it's all actually burned, its blood is sprinkled in the kodesh, on the parochet. And it's true also about an outer chatas, a chatas, a typical animal chatas. It's not true about the blood of a bird chatas. And the Gemara said that's based on a pasuk. The pasuk says zos. Zos is to exclude the bird chatas. So let's start again here on Sadi Beis and Beis. The Gemara then had a question talking about a bird chatas. If the bird chatas is brought inside, would that have the disqualification of blood being brought bifnim? And the Gemara didn't resolve that question. So now, Boi Rav Avin. Rav Avin had another question about blood of a chatas. Nishbach ala ritzva. The blood of the bird chatas spills onto the floor. And then va'asafa, then the Kohen gathers it in a holy vessel. So mahu, what's the halacha now? Can you take this blood and throw it onto the mizbeach? When it's an animal, so we learn that if the blood goes directly from the animal neck to the floor, and then the Kohen puts it into a vessel, it's no good to go onto the altar. If it went into a holy vessel, then it spills on the floor, the Kohen can recollect it and put it back onto the altar. So what's the law when it's the blood of a bird chatas that goes from the bird onto the floor? So now the question is like this. Is it that Hashem doesn't require the bird chatas to go into a holy vessel, because the bird itself is a holy vessel? Therefore, if that's the definition, now that it's spilled from the bird, osvo, the Kohen can recollect it, the same way he's allowed to recollect the blood of an animal chatas after it goes into a holy vessel and spills on the floor, v'kasher, and then he can sprinkle it on the mizbeach. Odilmor, maybe the way to understand the idea that the blood of a bird chatas goes directly from the bird onto the altar is that mifsal pasul be'rachmana klisharis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that in a bird chatas, a holy vessel is disqualified. Be'ilkach, so therefore, now that it went to the floor, now it's going to a vessel again. Also, if the Kohen gathers it, upasul, it's disqualified. Amar Rava, Rava said, maybe I could bring a proof from the following braisa. The braisa says, Yachol yehei dam chatas oftun kibus, maybe the blood, I might have thought that the blood of a bird chatas that goes onto a garment also requires the garment to be washed. Tamaloma, that's what the pasuk says, zos. This, to exclude a bird chatas. V'sakadaydach mifsal pasul be'rachmanan, if you're going to tell me that once blood of a bird chatas goes into a holy vessel, it gets disqualified. So then certainly, once it goes into a vessel, if it gets disqualified by going into a vessel, so going into a garment would disqualify it, because the garment is also a vessel. So once it's disqualified, it would be disqualified even before it got into the garment. Once it's in the airspace of the garment, it would be disqualified. So I don't need a pasuk of Zos to tell me you don't have to wash it out. It was disqualified blood that went into the garment. Typically, one second, why don't you just determine the ha'ifsalei, that this blood that's going into the garment has already become disqualified. Ba'avir kli, when it's in the airspace over the garment, the same way if you have blood in the airspace over a holy vessel, it's already considered in the vessel. So here too, once it would be in the airspace over the garment, it'll be in the garment, and the garment, you're saying, as a vessel would disqualify. Mm. So then there would be no need to wash out the garment.
How does this differ from behemoth? In terms of blood spilling on the garment?
Because in a behemoth, right, there's a klisharis. It's supposed to go into a klisharis. Mm. Here, it's not supposed to go into a klisharis. Mm. So I'm Rav Huna, Braid Rav Yoshua, Rav Huna, the son of Yeshua, said it's not necessarily a proof. We could be saying that b'mad l'kli b'tzavara. So what about a case where the garment is literally on the neck of the bird? If the garment is on the neck of the bird, so the blood is going from the bird directly into the garment. It's not that the blood was first in the airspace over the garment, then it went into the garment. It went right into the garment. So it didn't become disqualified first and then fall into the garment. It went from the bird into the garment. And it's saying that you don't need to wash out, but it's not necessarily a proof that blood over the airspace of the garment also becomes disqualified, or it doesn't become disqualified. It's not the case. The case here is that the blood went directly from the bird to the garment. Yeah, question, Baruch?
Yeah, no, but you said if the blood falls onto the floor,
right,
and the Kohen gathers that blood,
right,
this is disqualified. That is the pasul,
correct,
right?
If but it's the blood of an animal that went to the floor first.
But I thought the floor of Beit HaMikdash was holy.
True, even so. But that's it still gets disqualified. It wasn't holy for this. It wasn't klisharis. It wasn't the holiness of a holy vessel. It was the holiness of Mizbeach, maybe, Mizbeach, but not Mikdash, the holiness of a holy vessel.
Okay, and also now the second thing is the Kohen, he said if it drops on his gown,
yeah,
they have to wash.
If it's blood of an animal,
but if there's a cloth by the neck of the bird and the blood goes on that thing, then like sleeves or something like that he doesn't have to wash.
Correct, because since it's a bird blood, you don't have to wash. That's right.
Is it possible that the Torah is too practical? Because the Kohen doesn't have to do Shkita on the behema.
Right.
Can you imagine when they do the Shkita, there's blood all over the place. Mm. The Malika, they're doing, so it's imaginable they're always going to get blood on.
That's an interesting idea. Maybe.
Yeah,
maybe. Could be.
Out.
So now let's go back to the issues of an animal chatas blood going into a vessel, going into a garment. So by mine Levi asked a question of Rebbe. Nitas mi beged le beged mahu. What happens if the animal blood goes onto one garment and then it goes from that garment to a second garment? Obviously, on the first garment you had to wash it out. What about the second garment? So do we say mi beged kama itchile lekibus? Once it went onto the first garment. So then in the first garment, it's not blood that could go onto the Mizbeach anymore. It's blood that's supposed to have kibus. So once it's blood that's not ra'ui la Mizbeach, if it now goes to the second garment, it won't require a washing of the second garment. I'll do malo, or maybe not. We say, listen, this is blood that was blood for the Mizbeach. It's not as if it's blood that went directly from the animal to the floor. It's blood that was worthy for the Mizbeach. Now it's on garment number two. It needs to be washed out too. Even garment number two needs to be washed. So Rebbe said back to his nephew Levi, Zushela, it's a good question. Let me answer it to you. Ton kibus. The second garment also needs to be washed. And that's based on logic, no matter what way you want to define it. E osvo, if you're going to say that the Kohen... that were the Kohen to take the blood out of the first garment, v'kasher, would have been okay for throwing on the Mizbeach, then ha'kashers, then it's kasher blood that goes onto a garment. You have to wash the garment. The osvo apostle, now even if you're going to say that the blood, once it goes into the garment, the first garment, you can't use it anymore for the Mizbeach. Nevertheless, anak Rabbi Akiva sfirli, I hold like Rabbi Akiva Damar, who says, ha'isaloshas ha'kosher, if the blood at one point was kosher for the Mizbeach, and then v'nifsala, then it got disqualified, damaton kibus, then the blood still needs to be washed out of whatever garment it falls into. So therefore here too, this blood that's in garment number two, after having been first in garment number one, before it was in garment number one, was ro'i lahaza, could have been thrown on the Mizbeach. So since it could have been thrown on the Mizbeach, blood that at one point was worthy to be thrown on the Mizbeach, if it goes into a garment, You have to wash out that garment.
But how was from that garment to another garment?
You still have to wash it out.
The second one too?
Yeah.
But it's not holy anymore.
Apparently, it's still it. Since it once was holy, that's already enough reason to say
holy
you need to wash
from
it out.
Fair, you know, from
true.
To
but
to
since it was holy at that point, after the shechita, so they still have to wash it out to get it out of the garment.
Rabbi, you would think if it was blood that could have gotten in the bath, that you would burn the garment, not wash out the blood.
That's what Hashem said. That's the mitzvah Hashem gave us to wash it out. Now Rami Bar Chama asked the question of Rav Chisda. Nitaz al beged tame mahu. What about if the blood spills onto a tame garment? Do we say since the blood is becoming tame from the garment, and once it's tame, you can't throw it on the mizbeach? So now it's something which does not require washing out. Or maybe we say since before it touched the garment, it was tahor and kosher. Only it's the garment that's making it tummy and pustle, and the garment also is what's requiring the washing out. So it becomes disqualified, plus having to be washed out at the same time. It still has to be washed out. Hamar Avuna Bredi of Yeshua, Midukami Boile Hachi. From this, that Rami Bar Chama's question was about this, where it became tummy in the garment, not that it became tummy before the garment and then it went into the garment. Shmamina, you have the following proof. He holds like Rabbi Shimon that Haisaloshas Hakosher v'nifsala, if it was kosher for the mizbeach, but then it becomes pasul, and then it gets into a garment, ein dama ta'on kibus. Then you don't have to wash out the garment. But hani mi libizeach harzeh. That's true if it first became pasul and then it goes into the garment. Avu b'vas achas. But if it's simultaneously becoming pasul and going into a garment, then lo. That's maybe you do have to wash out or do more, maybe loshna, even if it's simultaneously, it doesn't need to be washed out. So Amar Leh, so that's in terms of defining the questions. Amar Leh, so Rav Chisda said back to Rami Bar Chama, Plukta Dribalazav Rabbanan, Aliba de Rabba. This question is an argument between Rabbanan and the Rabbanan, according to Rabba's explanation, could have come at Taritz Abaye, as Abaye explained it. So what was that? The argument of Eleza and Rabbanan is in regard to the water of Paraduma, what we call Mechatas, spring water that has in it the ashes of Paraduma, that becomes Tame. Can you sprinkle these Tame waters on a Tame mace to purify him? Or they will no longer be able to purify him because they became tame. The Tanya Luntin of Reiser, Belezer, Omer Belezer says, Mechata Shenitmu, waters of Para Aduma that became tame, Metaharin, they can still purify a tame mace if they are sprinkled on a tame mace. Share Nida Mazan Aleph, because let's say you have a woman who's a Nida, and she becomes a tame mace, we would sprinkle on her the waters of Para Aduma, and then she would go to the mikvah both for Para Aduma and for, I'm sorry, both for tame mace and for the impurity of Nida. So now, when you sprinkle the waters on a Nida, those waters are becoming tame. Rama Rabba explained, Rebbe Lazar brings a proof from the fact that you can sprinkle the water with ashes of Paraduma onto Anita. His point is like this. Vishitas Rebbe Akiva Rabba Amro. He's following the view of Rebbe Akiva. Damu holds Avar Askli Al Gabe Makom Tame Kimunach Tami. When you take a vessel with waters of Paraduma over something which is Tamei, it's as if that vessel was placed down on the thing that was Tamei. It's as if you put the water that's in that vessel down on the thing that's Tamei, and it becomes Tamei. So therefore, when you sprinkle water of Paraduma on a Nida, it's first going to be in the airspace over the Nida. Whenever it's over the airspace, it's as if it's down on the Nida. So that means it's as if it became Tamei. Then, after it became tame, it actually touches her to try to be mitzayer her. So it's no different than any time you have waters of Parah Aduma that were made Tamei and then are being sprinkled on someone who's Tamei Mase.
So the person who throws the water, he gets Tamei himself too. Am I
that's
right?
A separate point, but that's not our issue here, but that's a separate point.
What about regular Tamei Mase? Also in the airspace will make the water Tamei. It doesn't count.
Maybe it'll also be that way, right?
Rabbi, this Parah Aduma, they did the ashes, they threw the ashes to that person, or they put them in the water, they dissolved it, and then they did...
Correct, the latter. The ashes are put into the spring water, and then that spring water is sprinkled
on
the person.
Like, what is the ratio of it? They put a drop of the ashes?
Very little ashes, right. Tetznam, you learned the Mishnah in Masechta Parah. If you have a barrel of mechatas in a hole on the wall, and next to the hole you have an earthenware oven, and haya omed chutz latanur, a person is standing outside of the oven. In other words, the only way to get the barrel of mechatas is to carry it over the oven. The sheretz batanur, and you have a dead rodent in this oven. And he puts his hand into this hole in the wall, and he takes the barrel with the mechatas, with the waters of Parah Aduma, and he carries it over the opening of the oven. Those ovens were like this. The top was open. So carrying it. Yeah, but it was not like our ovens, they're opening to the side. Their ovens didn't open on the side, they open at the top. So he's carrying the barrel over the oven. Rabbi Akiva Metame. Rabbi Akiva says that this water, this mechatas, the water with Parah Aduma ashes, becomes Tame, v'chacham mitarin, and the chacham say it's tahor. This is what the argument is. Rabbi Akiva Savar, kemunach dami, that even though you have the waters of Parah Aduma in a barrel, and the barrel's going over the airspace of the oven, it's considered as if it's in the oven, placed in the oven. Rabbanan Savi Lav Kemunach Tamei. Rabbanan said, no, it's not as if it's considered placed in the oven. So in other words, according to Rabbi Akiva, anything over the airspace of a Tamei is as if it's down on the Tamei. What's that? So it's as if it's down on the Tamei. So 1 second. Esve Abaye challenged Rabba. We lived in a brisa, Moder Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva would agree. Baza shehavira al gabe klecheres tamei. If a person throws waters of Parah Aduma over a utensil of earthenware which is tamei, like an oven with a dead rodent in it, or al gabe mishkavu moshav tamei, or on top of a seat that a zav sat on, or a nida sat on, or a bed that a nida laid on, or a zav laid on, shehi tahora, that water is still tahor. Shein l'chadavar shemetami l'male, kilamata, you don't have a concept that things flying over something become tamei as if they were to touch the thing. Ela kezayis menameis, the only thing that can do that is Tumas Mase, if you have a little piece of a dead body, then whatever is over it also becomes Tame. Ushar Kalamahilim. In other words, what and other things that are tent over, La Suye Evan Amanugas, to include a stone with Saras on it. Something flying over a stone with Saras becomes Tame. But something flying over a bed of anida doesn't become tamei. So 1 second, that seems to be a contradiction from the other Mishnah, where Rabbi Akiva says that a barrel of mechatas carried over an oven that has a sheretz in it becomes tamei. I thought he just said things being carried over don't become tamei. El Amar Abaye says the kuli amalav kemunach tamei. Everybody agrees that things that, you know, when you have water and you carry the water of Parah Aduma over an oven with a dead sheretz, it's not as if it was in the dead sheretz, placed into the oven. But here, this is what the argument is. Rabbi Akiva Savar Gazrinan Shema Yanuach. Rabbi Akiva said, if you're carrying the barrel with Parah Aduma waters over the oven with a dead rodent, maybe you'll put it down. And therefore, based on the gzeira, it's treated as if it's tamei. Rabbanan Savri lo gazin. Rabbanan say we don't make such a gzeira that maybe you'll put it down. But if you're actually throwing the water, the person doing the paraduma is already sprinkling these waters of paraduma. So now there's no worry, maybe it's going to go down, because kevin did nafik, once it's out of his hand, nafak, so he's not going to put anything down, the water's already out of his hand. There's no worry he's going to put something down anywhere. So now, if that's the case, for Rebbe Lazar, who said earlier that the waters that become tameh can still be matayr a tameh meis from the proof of the fact that you can sprinkle the waters of paradum on anida. For Rabbanan, who disagreed and said it wasn't a proof, but my community, what are they arguing about? Abaya said like this, the dan in tuma keduma mituma shabosta shah kamifliki. Rabbi Lazar and the Rabbanan are arguing, do you learn tuma that was before it was sprinkled from tuma that's happening while it's being sprinkled? So mar savar danin. So one says if when you sprinkle the water of paradumana nida, so it's becoming tame while it's touching her. So if that works for her, so it also will work if the waters became tame before. Umar savar ain danin. And the other opinion says no. That's the view that disagrees with the Belazi. It says no. If it be the fact that waters of paraduma that touch a nida can purify a nida, even though while they're purifying the nida, they're becoming tamei because it's happening simultaneously. But if you were to make the waters of paraduma tamei and then try to sprinkle them on a tamei mace, it wouldn't work. It's already become disqualified. So that is according to this question of Rabbi Bar Chama. Going back to our issue, the question of Rabbi Bar Chama was blood that sprinkles from the vessel, from the holy vessel, onto a tameh garment. So it simultaneously becomes tameh and it goes into a garment. So according to Abaye, that's this argument between Rabbi Lazar and the Rabbanan. According to Rabbi Lazar, simultaneous is the same as before. So therefore, we'll say that it's as if the blood became tameh, and then it went into the garment. Therefore, you wouldn't have to wash it out. Whereas according to the Rabbanan, it's simultaneous is different than what happens before. And therefore, we would say blood that goes into a garment, even though it's becoming tameh, when it goes into the garment, you still have to take it out.
Rabbi, why is the person who's sprinkling, why is he getting tameh?
That's a separate law, that he becomes tameh that day. That's in the Pasuk says.
But it's not because he has to be anything like that, right?
No, it's a special law.
Rabbi, you're saying that any woman which is in nida, anything she touches becomes tameh?
Yes, that's true.
So then she shouldn't be cooking or she shouldn't be doing anything, is that right?
Well, it's not relevant to us because we're all tameh anyway. We're out of the Eretz Yisrael. We are all tameh because we're in Eretz Amim. We're all tameh, so it doesn't matter.
So where does it affect this thing, this tameh situation?
It doesn't affect us. Right, yeah.
Only?
Yeah, and when we have the Beit HaMikdash again, yeah, they won't be cooking. Right?
You're going to cook, Rebbe Baruch. Okay, ask a question, you're going to cook.
Now, Rava said, he had another expression. Rava Amar, to Kuliyama, both Rebbe Lazar and the Rabbanan agree, ain't done. We don't say that what happens simultaneously is equal to what happens before and then later. But here, this is the argument between Rebbe Lazar and the Chacham. Rebbe Lazar is Savar, Rebbe Lazar holds, Hazah Tzricha Shiur. That when you sprinkle the water of paraduma, there has to be a certain amount that's sprinkled. So therefore, umitztarfin lazos. If you first sprinkled less than the right amount, and then you sprinkle a second time some more, and then the third time some more, all the different acts of sprinklings combine to equal up to the right amount.
The first time you're talking.
So that's what Rabbi Lazar is saying here. When the water was sprinkled on a nida, it became tummy, and it wasn't enough yet to purify her. So it's tummy before it purifies her. Now some more goes on. So you see that even that which is tummy before it purifies still can purify. Whereas the Rabbanan Savri, Hazah, whenever you sprinkle in Tzvi Chashir, there's no measure. So even the very first time that was sprinkled, right away it purified her. It wasn't that this was tummy, and then it was adding to purifying. It happened simultaneously. So that's why they hold that it is okay, and it's not proof to the idea that may neither get tummy with a dead body that it can later be sprinkled on a person.
Well, we have any other place that we're talking about the shiur for?
Yeah, we had seen it quoted earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now the Mishnah, going back to the idea that blood of a chatas requires that the chatas, that the garment that it falls into, be washed out, applies to animal blood. It doesn't apply to bird blood. What about chatas psula, chatas which is disqualified? So the Mishnah says, Ein damatzon kibas. That blood does not have to be washed out, whether it was disqualified from the very beginning or even if it had a shas kosher. Tanur Rabbanan went to Nebraska. There are those, though, who disagree with this halacha. The verse says in chapter 6, verse 20 of Vayikra, Vasher yizeh midamala baged, and if he will throw from its blood onto a garment, midama, from its blood, midam kasher, from the blood that's kasher, below midam psula, not from the blood of the carbon, which is pasul. However, Rabbi Kiva says, not all psulim. Haisala shasa kosher. If at one point it was kosher, and then venifsula, then it became disqualified, then if the blood falls on a garment, dama ton kibus, the garment has to be washed out. If lo haisala shasa kosher, if the blood never was qualified, venifsula, becomes disqualified, ain dama ton kibus, then the blood does not have to be washed out. And Rabbi Shimon is like our Mishnah, whether it was one pint good or whether it was never good, its blood never has to be washed out. My time with Rabbi Shimon, what's the reason of Rabbi Shimon? Because the pasuk says, "Kol zachar bakonim yochalosa." All the male kohanim are allowed to eat the chata. So since it says osa, it, and we also have it, but not something else. And uksiv, and the pasuk says, "Midama, from her blood." So therefore you have two exclusions. So chad lehechad isla shasa kosher. One is to exclude the blood that at one point was kosher but is now disqualified. And chad, the other one, is to exclude the lo isla shasa kosher, the blood that never was qualified. And Rabbi Akiva, who doesn't do that, he says like this, osa, that it says, is to say prat l'tshuma, that the law that you need to, you know, boil out the pot that was used to cook the chatas and then wash it, that's only true in regards to meat of a chatas. It's not true in regards to truma, if you cook truma in a pot. So it's not for this point. And Rabbi Shimon, the time A, Rabbi Shimon's l'shitas, Adam holds, kachim kalim, even shlamim and toda cooked in a pot, ain't tunim riku shtif, you don't have to boil them out. And therefore, kol shekein truma, certainly truma doesn't need to be boiled out. I don't need the pasuk osa to say the truma doesn't need to be boiled out. So therefore, I have two exclusions, osa plus midama. So one is to exclude haisala shasa kosher, and one is to exclude a chatas psula that never was kosher. Okay, going back to the laws, the next Mishnah deals furthermore with the laws of the blood of a chatas onto a garment. Nitas minat savara la beged. Let's say the blood went directly from the neck of the chatas onto a garment. Then ain't no tone kibos. Then you don't need to wash the garment out in the azara. However, if the blood went already onto the keren, onto the corner of the mizbeach, or min hayisod, or on the base of the mizbeach, the leftover blood, and from there it goes onto the garment again, ain't no tone kibos. There's no requirement to wash out that garment. Nishbach ala ritzva v'asfo, if the blood spilled onto the floor and it was gathered, and then it goes on to the garment, ain't ton kibus, you don't have to wash the garment. Ain't ton kibus, eladamshin is kabel bekliv roi lahazir. The only garments that need to be washed is blood that had been caught in a holy vessel, blood that was fit to be thrown on the mizbeach, and then it goes into a garment. Now you need to wash the garment down.
If the garment doesn't require laundering, it means that we retire the garment from service and we get rid of it?
No, we use the garment once we launder it out. We keep using it. We have a mitzvah to launder it in the Azara. What's that?
We should have only had this Mishnah. It's a lot clearer than the last Mishnah.
Yeah, it helps us more. That's true.
So did chatata off, Steve? We chatata off?
No, chatas off, no. No, only with animals. Maybe if we'd go directly from the neck of the animal to the garment, you'd have to wash out the garment. So the pasuk says, "Asher yizeh, that which will be thrown." Lo amarti ela b'roi laza. I only talk about blood which is fit to throw it onto the altar. Tani dechulinted another brisa. Yachol nitos minak karen minayisod yeton kibus. Maybe if we'd go off of the mizbeach Also, you'd have to wash it, the garment. That's it says, Asher Yizeh, that which will be thrown. Prat Lezeh Shekvar Huza, to exclude this which already was thrown. Nishmach Al Ritzpah, if it falls onto the floor and then gathered and then it goes into the garment, you don't have to wash out the garment. Hasu Lamali, why do I need to keep telling you this? Obviously, right, once it says if it goes to the floor, well, I'd have to say if it was gathered off from the floor. We already said that. So the Gemara explains, Matzam Kamer. The Mishnah is just explaining the reason. Matzam, Nishmach Al Ritzpah Basel. Ein Kon Kibbutz, what's the reason why if it spilled from the animal to the floor and then it was gathered, you don't need to wash out the garment? What is the garments that need to be washed? Garments that got soiled with blood that had gone into a holy vessel and was deserving of or worthy to be thrown onto the mizbeach, and then it goes onto a garment. Roy Laza, it has to be fit for throwing onto the mizbeach. Limute mai, what's it to exclude? Limute pach kibel pachos mikdei azaya beklizet. Upachos mikdei azaya beklizet, to exclude a case where he caught less than the amount needed for the throwing on the altar in one vessel, and then less than the amount needed for the throwing on the altar in another vessel, and he mixed the two vessels together, and then it goes on to a garment. You don't need to wash that out of the garment. It's not even a brayser. Rabbi Chalafta Bar Shol Omer, Kidesh pachos mikdei azaya beklizeh, pachos mikdei azaya beklizeh, if he tries to consecrate waters, again, of para aduma, less than the amount of sprinkling in one vessel, less than the amount of sprinkling in another vessel, and then mix them together, lo kidesh, she did not succeed to consecrate them. Ibailuhu, they had a question in the yeshiva.
Why is that different than what we learned earlier? The first drop, the second drop, then it's tarik, right?
Why is it different? I don't know.
We learned earlier.
I think we're going to see.
It's tarik, so this is the same thing. You know?
No, we're going to see. I think it's based on psukim. Then we're going to see soon. So Ibailuhu, they had a question. Bidamahu. Let's say you have blood of achatas pnimis, and you caught less than the amount, and then a little bit more less than the amount, then you mix it. So what would the halacha be there? Hilchasahi, is it a special halacha l'moshe misinai in regards to para aduma? And then umi hilchasa lo gamin, and then you can't learn from it. Oduma hasa my time, maybe by para aduma, it's on the following pasuk. Because it says, v'tav al b'mai. And he has to dip into the waters. So it says bamaim, in the waters, not bimaim, not in water, but bamaim, in the waters, in special waters. So since it says v'taval bamaim, that means it had to be in the right amount of waters. And if so, achanami, so here too, since it says save by this blood, v'taval akoines etz ba'o badam. So therefore it says, this is the Tavol Badah, maybe it has to be the right amount right away at the beginning. Tashma, come in here, approved. Amr Abzrika, Amr Abelazar, Abzrika says, Amr Abelazar, Af Bidam Lo Kidesh. Also with the blood, if part of it goes into a vessel, but it wasn't enough, and then another part goes into another vessel and it wasn't enough, it doesn't get consecrated. Amar Rava, Rava said, Tanya, we learned, in fact, in a Brisa. Verse says v'taval, and he is to dip his finger into the blood. V'lo misafeg, that means not for him to clean off his finger on the edge of the vessel. Badam, in the blood, that means that shehei badam shiur tvila meikaro. It means that the blood has to be enough to dip the finger in from the very beginning. Min hadam, then he sprinkles from the blood onto the paroches. Min adam shebe'inyan, from the blood that was mentioned. In other words, you have to keep dipping your finger back into that blood. You can't sprinkle once from your finger and then say, oh, there's still blood on my finger, I'll sprinkle a second time. No, you have to keep dipping to sprinkle seven times onto the parochas. Because Rachman of Itzabal, if Hashem would have only said you will dip, Avamin afagav deleka shir tzvila me'ikara. Even if you didn't have initially right enough blood in the vessel, if ultimately you have enough blood in the vessel, it's okay. Because the Rahmana Badam, that's why Hashem says that in the blood, you have to have in the vessel enough blood from the very beginning. Because the Rahmana Badam, and if Hashem would have said in the blood, Avamina Filu Misafig, even if you don't dip the finger, you just, you know, scrape the finger against the wall, because of Rachmana Vetzaval. That's why Hashem says you have to dip. And then it said, Min Adam, from the blood, Sheba Inyan, with the blood that you had before. Limute Mai, what's that to exclude? Amarava Limute Shirayim Sheba Etzba. That means that you can't use the leftover blood on the finger. Misayel Rebbe Elazar, this is all approved to Rebbe Elazar. Damar Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Elazar used to say, Shirayim Sheba Etzba Psulim. The blood that's still on the finger after the Kohen sprinkles once off of his finger are, in fact, pasul. Amalei Ravin Baravada L'Rav. Ravin Baravada L'O said to Rav, Amri Talmidach, your students told me that Amar Rav Amram, that Rav Amram said, Tanina, we have a braisa that goes against this. That Haya Mazeh, let's say he's sprinkling blood from the chatos apnimios, the nitzaza miyado, and some of the blood sprinkles onto his garment. Achelo hiza, if he hadn't yet thrown the blood, ton kibus, he has to wash the garment out. Omisha hiza, but once he had already thrown the blood, ain't ton kibus, then he doesn't have to wash the garment out. So my love, doesn't it sound like hachi karmen? That's what he's saying. If he's still doing the seven sprinklings, he hasn't finished all seven sprinklings, Tohen Kibbutz, if it goes onto a garment, he has to wash out the garment. Misha Garma Lahazos, once he finishes the seven sprinklings, ain't Tohen Kibbutz, he doesn't have to wash out the garment. But sounding like when he's doing the seven sprinklings, even from the leftover on his finger, he would have to wash it. That sounds like the leftover blood on the finger is not disqualified, because it requires a washing of a garment. That means it is qualified. Rav said, no, that's not the word. The man talking about, that's what it means. If the blood hasn't gone off of his finger yet, and it goes on to the garment, then Tohen Kibbutz, the garment has to be washed out. But once the blood has gone off of his finger, and it goes on to the parochas, and there's some leftovers on his hand, and that goes on to this garment, ain't Tohen Kibbutz. That's not worthy to be thrown onto the Mizbeach anymore, because you have to dip back in to throw onto the Mizbeach. So that doesn't need, I'm sorry, to be thrown onto parochas, so that doesn't need to be, that garment doesn't need to be washed off. Esfi Abaye, Abaye challenged this. We learned again in Masechta Para. Gamar Milahazos, and the Kohen Gadol, after he slaughters the red cow on Har HaZeitim, he sprinkles the blood seven times towards the Beis HaMikdash. When he finishes those sprinklings, Mekaneach Yodo Begufo Shel Para. He cleans out his hand, he wipes his hand on the garment of the red cow. So, Gamar Im, only once he finished the sprinklings. Lo gamar, but if he hasn't finished, lo, then he doesn't clean his hand onto the red cow. So apparently, if he hasn't finished the sprinkling, he should still be sprinkling. So amar le, you know, the blood on his hand is still kosher. So amar le, Sarava said, no, gamar, once he finishes all seven sprinklings, mekaneach yado begufa shel para, whatever blood is left on his hand, he smears on the body of the para, because that also should be burned with the para. But lo gamar, but if he hasn't finished the sprinklings, mekaneach etzba'o, whatever he has, he cleans off of his finger. Cleans the finger, and then he puts it into the blood again, because the leftover blood can't be used to be sprinkled a second time. Bish, 1 second, just to finish. Bishlama, I can understand. Gamar mekaneach yado begufa shel para, shenamar v'sarif ha-sapara le'enav. I understand why he would clean his hand on the body of the para, because all of it should be burned. Ela etzbo, but the finger, b'may mekaneach, once he sprinkles some blood from the finger, what does he clean the leftover blood on? Why would it have to be on the garment? Why would it have to be on the para aduma? That would get all sorts of hairs on his hand. That would ruin it. Some Rabbi Abaya says, you're right, he doesn't, if it's a finger, it's not being cleaned on the body of the paraduma, b'sfas mizrek, it's being cleaned on the edge of the basin. Kidachsev, as it says, kiporei zahav, that they are atonements of gold, they clean of gold the gold basins would be used to clean the blood off of his finger. Yeah, Baruch, a question.
How many years there were between burning the second Beit HaMikdash and the Gemara era? How many years?
So the Beit HaMikdash was burned around the year 70.
Right.
And the Gemara was completed around the year 500. So 430
years. 430 years. That's why different opinions and different...
True. Okay. That's a big part of why they have such doubt, because they don't remember what was done before.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
So he needed to do the same as Aot, but Mihar HaZetim, because
yes.
They were short in Shana.
That was that's right. That's right, yes.
He loved
Aot. That's right.
And they never washed the curtains, Rabbi? It was full of...
I don't think so. Well, there were miracles that there were no flies in the Beis HaMikdash. There were miracles.
It must have been smelling really good in the Beis HaMikdash.
Everyone should have a wonderful day.